Blog Talk Radio.
I'm a truth terrorist. I'm a knowledge gangster. I'm a black history hitman. I'm a lie killer, urban gorilla. I gotta be a roughneck.
Free the Black Panthers, FCBP. Stand for free the Black Panthers. And fuck the black police. That 13th Amendment, trying to make a slave of me. You can lock my body, can't trap my mind, not forever be free.
Okay,
free the Black Panthers, FCBP. Stand for free the Black Panthers, and fuck the black police. Feds infiltrated our movement for black leadership roles. But we still here, finna build here, fuck coin sale pro.
Show.
They got me started, lion hearted, I'm the new Mufasa. And I'm all about Umoja, first in Guzu Saba. Let's bring back the black families, we need our father. Single mama, son and daughter, that's root of the problem. Wise up, we wise up, unity so powerful. Black banks, black schools, black on, black power moves. You telling lies, if you think this shit won't be televised. Black power, be scared guys, they be standing there like they paralyzed, ha. We say fuck the system, cause we above the system. We keep ARs and pistols, shotguns that's worth a crystal. But that's for self-defense, make sure we have no issues. Be sure to leave it at the door if you have it with you. This for them freedom fighters, that lost their freedom. Until they freedom, we screaming carpe diem. This for the general, King Khalid Muhammad. We gon' make your day a holiday, I fucking promise.
Free the Black Panthers, FCBP. Stand for free the Black Panthers, and fuck the black police. That 13th Amendment, tryna make a slave of me. You can lock my body, can't trap my mind, not forever be free.
Okay,
free the Black Panthers, FCBP. Stand for free the Black Panthers, and fuck the black police. Feds infiltrated our movements for black leadership roles. But we still here, finna build here, fuck coin sale pro.
RBG, 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 RBG. My sisters, my brothers, the council, the elders, and that's really all I need. We suited, we booted, don't do it, you stupid, we head to the armory. Black woman and goddess, regardless, my heart just don't fuck with misogyny. Bullshit, I don't tolerate it. Melanated, so you gotta hate it. Barack fucked up another conversation. Trump finna get inaugurated, damn. Unify or die, NBPP.org.
First and foremost, the new Black Panther Party, no other Black Panther Party, we are not violent. We are for self-defense and self-determination. The most violent group in this country are the police. What is taking place by the police department to black people across this country is ethnic cleansing and genocide. It has escalated since the day that Barack Obama was inaugurated in 2008. We have a people who are only 13% of the population, yet we make up 80% of the prisons. We have 50% unemployment rate in the black community, and it's actually even more than that because they're not counting our people that are in the prisons. The 13th Amendment says you cannot be made a slave or indentured servant unless you commit a crime. The 14th Amendment forced our people to be subjects of this government. We never had any say in that. We need our own nation.
Talk to him, Dr. Clark.
He called for the unity and the redemption of the African world.
Salute them, Honorable Marcus.
We were not ready to listen then.
They might not have been ready then.
There's wonder whether we are ready.
Ain't no doubt about it.
To listen.
We ready, baby.
Now.
Let's go. Yeah, 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 yeah.
Flag fly high. Woo! Flag fly high. Flag fly high. Black fist in the sky. Wave the side to side. It's the flag fly high.
Forever, Garvey would never die. On my 90, the throne ready, let's take a ride. That's what fits me and don't.
Jimmy G.
Black fly.
The block, they broke on me, said I ran a stop sign, but that's a lie. I spent my whole life staring at the stage, playing Sega, daddy smoking Sherm, mama playing spades, catching vapors, grandma said I get some Jordans for my grades, that's my baby, when she died, my heart broke 100 ways. I spent my whole life trying to make it, trying to chase it, the cycle of a black man divided, trying to break it, you take a lot of shit, don't cry about it, just embrace it, minor setback for major comeback, that's my favorite. My nigga L said you do it, don't with Nip, K-Dot, he a better grip, I said he a man first, you hear the words out his lips, about flourishing from the streets to black businesses, level 4 yard living, given to false imprisonment, listen close my nigga, it's bigger than deuces and foes my nigga, since elementary we close my nigga, you're straight like that, I give you the game, go back to the turf and give it right back, for generations we've been dealt bad hands with bad plans, prove your dedication by hopping out Grand Am, I'm at the premiere, politicking with Top Nip and Snoop, damn, clock watching the way we move, dedication.
Hold up.
Blah. This ain't entertainment. It's four niggas on a slave ship. These soldiers and spirituals I swam against them waves with. Ended up on shore to their amazement. I hope the example I set's not contagious. Lockers behind gates but can't tame us. Used to be stay safe, now stay dangerous. Cause ain't no point playing defense, nigga. That's why I dove off the deep end, nigga, without a life jacket. Couple mils for the world, all my life cracking. Cook the book. books, bring it back so there's no taxes. Royalties, publishing, plus our own masters. I'd be damned if I slave for some white crackers. I was mapping this out, I hit the heights backwards. Topping out the 85 and Reebok classics. Read a couple marathons just to get established. To make it happen, you got to have dedication. Hard work, plus patience. To some more of my sacrifice, I'm done waiting. I'm done waiting, told you that I wasn't playing. Now you hear what I've been saying. Dedication.
Let me now turn to our program for the future.
Economy right now, it's extremely supporting of the president and his policies.
FBI scientists have found chemical traces consistent with a bomb or a missile on a piece of wreckage. Police using clubs and tear gas against demonstrators.
So-and-so and a white fascist. Like they said, you're getting some of your own medicine.
And the rest will fall behind. Tell me who's got control of your mind. Your worldview, is it the news or the movie you taking your girl to? Know what I'm saying, cause Uncle Sam got a plan. If you examine what they telling us, then you will understand what they planting in the seeds of the next generation. Feeding our children miseducation. No one knows if there's UFOs or any life on Mars, or what they doing when they up in the stars. Because I don't believe a word of what the president said. He's filling our heads with lies, got us hypnotized when he be speaking in cold words about crime and poverty, drugs, welfare, prisons, guns, and robbery. It really means us, there's no excuse for the slander, but what's good for the group is still good for the gander, see.
I don't believe Bob Marley got me cancer. 31 years ago, I would have been a panther. They killed Huey because they knew he had the answer. The views that you see in the news is propaganda. I don't want no computer chip in my arm. I don't wanna die by a nuclear bomb. I say we all rush the Pentagon, pull out guns and grab the intercom. My first words would be, I believe man made God out of ignorance and fear. If God made man, then why the hell would he put us here? I thought he supposed to be the all-loving, the same God who let Hitler put the Jews in the ovens. We don't fall for the regular shit. They try to feed us all this half-ass leadership, flipping position. They turn politician and shut the hell up and follow tradition. Boy, your TV screen is telling lies to your vision. Every channel got some brainwash cop shit to watch. Running up in niggas' cribs claiming that they earned shots. It's a plot. But Buster, can you tell me who's greedy? The big corporations, the pigs or the media? Sign of the times, terrorism on the rise. Commercial airplanes falling out the skies like flies. Make me wonder what secrets went down with Ron Brown, who burned the churches to the ground with no evidence found. It's not coincidence. It's been too many steady incidents. It could have been the Klan who put that bomb at the Olympics, but it probably was the FBI. Deep at the core, cause if they make us all panic, they can start martial law. I don't believe Bob Marley died from cancer. 31 years ago I would have been a panther. They killed Huey because they knew he had the answer. The views that you see in the news is propaganda. I don't believe Bob Marley died from cancer. 31 years ago I would have been a panther. You killed Huey because you knew he had the answer. The views that you see in the news is motherfucking propaganda.
We view each other with a great love and a great understanding, and that we try to extend this to the general black population and also people, oppressed people all over the world. And I think that we differ from some other groups simply because we understand the system better than most groups understand the system. And with this realization, we attempt to form a strong political base based in the community with the only strength that we have, and that's the strength of a potentially destructive force if we don't get freedom.
I fight myself, I fight God to tell me how many burdens left. I fight pain and hurricanes, today I wept. I'm trying to fight back tears, flood on my doorstep. Life to live in hell, puddles of blood in the street. Shooters on top of the building, government aid ain't relief. Earthquake, the body drop, the ground breaks. The poor run with smoke lungs and scarred face. Who need a hero?
Hero.
You need a hero, look in the mirror, there go your hero. Who on the front lines at ground zero?
Hero.
My heart don't skip a beat even when hard times bump the needle. Mass destruction and mass corruption, the souls of suffering men. Clutching on deaf ears again, rapture's coming. It's all prophecy, and if I gotta be sacrificed for the greater good, then that's what it gotta
you
be.
Pray for me.
Warned you when it's time to be a man. Do all you can, see other lands, and don't be living for the
shut it in, be the better man. In closing, watch your friends and then you'll understand a little better then. But on the other hand, you so goddamn stubborn and you be starting shit. And ever since you made president, we ain't even seen you since. You need to help me rebuild our school, rebuild our church and home, and stop killing my own kind and leave my earth alone. And stop tapping my phone and searching my brain and keep your personal feelings home when you're betting my phone. Do it for the weak and strong, and it eats its own. Do it for the main goals when all the teeth is gone.
Officials decree that rapper Brad Jordan, alias Scarface, must be stopped. After being monitored by Secret Service agents for 2 years, evidence leads tobacco and firearms officials to believe that his literally dope lyrics promote drug usage and distribution, degrade women, influence gambling, promote and teach violence, and more importantly, it's influencing our minors and destroying our communities. Officials say he's the lord of underground rap, him and his music must be stopped.
We got this whole motherfucker on the mission. Now the whole entire world has gotta try to come up with the quickest vision. They claim we threats to society, and now they're calling on the government to try to make somebody quiet for the bullshit they done to me. Gangsta Nip, Spice, Warden, or Tupac never gave a gun to me. So gangsta rap ain't done shit for that. I've even seen white folks from River Oaks don't get to get. So why you trying to kick some dust up? America's always been known for blaming us niggas, but they fucked up. And we were always considered evil. Now they're trying to bust our only code of communicating with our people. Let's peep the game from a different angle. Matt Dillon pulled his pistol every time him when someone tangled. So why you criticize me for the shit that you see on your TV? That's freaks worse than PG. Just bring your ass to where they got me, so you can feel the hand of the dead body.
Nigga don't believe that song, that nigga's wrong.
That's wrong.
they trying separation and sending black folks in white coats to infiltrate our congregation, tapping into our conversation, taking the message that they get, bring forth wrong premeditation. So David's got a silver man. While listening to Brad, David gets pissed and killed his dad. David Duke's got a shotgun. So why you get upset? Cause I got one. A chisket, a tasket, a nigga got his ass kicked, shot in the face by a cop, closed casket. An open and shut situation. Cop gets got, they wanna blame it on my occupation. If you don't dig me, then nigga, you can sue. Because the shit that I be saying ain't worse than a Western movie. Don't blame me, blame your man, got it. So you can feel the hand of the dead body.
Nigga, don't believe that song, that nigga's wrong. Gangsters don't live that long.
You better free your mind before I free my nine and stop fucking with Detroit up top. I feel my hot rocks. Bang, bang, boom, boom, ping, ping. I'm the black, white boys got a magazine and don't know how to act. I attack and make you vomit. Down with Khaled, I do my homage. Dewey got a brother, I'm McNeil. I'm the illest. Wanna kill this house, nigga, Don Cornelius. Can you feel this? You punk niggas make me sick. Sucking on the devil's dick, scared of revolution. Need to start douching. Houston is the place. I caught a case. The motherfuckers tried to put a scar on my face. But I bust two times to the guts. Do the Reverend Calvin bust. Got a pair of nuts. I started this gangster shit in 86. Now you're dissing me for publicity. Isn't he a hoe to the third degree? Who me? I'm a G that like to scrap a lot. Down with rap a lot. And I can't stop, won't stop. So fuck Bill and Hillary. Ice Cube, it ain't no killing me. Ice Cube, Scarface, dropping it on these sellout ass niggas. Doing it like,
nigga, don't believe that song, that nigga's wrong. Gangsters don't live that long. Nigga, don't believe that song, that nigga's wrong. Gangsters don't live that long.
In this crooked game of power politics here in America, the Negro, namely the race problem, integration, civil rights issue, are all nothing but tools used by the whites who call themselves liberals against another group of whites who call themselves conservatives, either to get into power or to retain power. Among whites here in America, the political teams are no longer divided into Democrats and Republicans. The whites who are now struggling for control of the American political throne are divided into liberal and conservative camps. The white liberals from both parties cross party lines to work together toward the same goal. And white conservatives from both parties do likewise. The white liberal differs from the white conservative only in one way. The liberal is more deceitful, more hypocritical than the conservative. Both want power, but the white liberal is the one who has perfected the art of posing as the Negro's friend.
But we want to welcome you to our rally, our unity rally, for a united black front. To unite all factions of our people. To unite every one of the 20 million so-called Negroes into one group. And you'll notice, whenever the white man thinks that we're going to call a rally to knock our own kind, you see him jammed out here. He wants to hear us say something against King or against Bunch or against Farmer, against someone of our own kind. He jams out here. But when you call a rally for black people to unite, let's get together, you don't see too many white folks then. They don't like black people to get together in unity and harmony. As long as you and I are going to attack each other or talk about each other or heap scorn and ridicule upon each other, the white man gets his kick. But when he knows that we're going to come together in unity and harmony, he won't get his kick. He will get kicked. When you see you and I getting together, it is because we have begun to realize that we have a common enemy. And the only time we'll be able to come together with a common objective and a common goal is when we first develop a common motive. And that motive is best developed by recognizing the common enemy. And that common enemy is the white man. I say that common enemy is the white man. The white man is your enemy, whether you are a Baptist, whether you are a Methodist, whether you are a Episcopalian, or whether you are a Muslim, or whether you are a Mason, or whether you are an Elk. If you find yourself running into opposition when you're looking for freedom, justice, and equality, or some kind of rights, you have to agree, always the one who opposes your right is the white man. Some old blue-eyed, blonde-haired, bad-smelling white man. When he puts his club upside your head, he doesn't care whether you're a Baptist, a Methodist, but he does want to know whether or not you're a Muslim. Because he knows if you're a Baptist or a Methodist, you're going to turn the other cheek. You're going to try and love your enemy. You're going to pray for them that despitefully use you. So he's not worried about you. But he knows if you're a Muslim, you're not going to turn the other cheek. If you pray for him, you pray that God kills him, or God helps you to kill him. That's the only kind of prayer you pray. It's time for you and me to unite, to get together and get this big white ink off our back. You got a bad habit. You're hooked and don't know it. You got what's known as white disease. You think you can't get along without the white man. You think you can't get some clothes without the white man. You think you can't get a house without the white man. You think you can't even get a job without the white man. You're worse than a man who thinks he can't get along without heroin. You're worse than the man who thinks he can't get along without morphine. You're worse than the junkie. You're in worse shape than the junkie because the junkie only has a little monkey on his back and you're running around with a big white ape named Uncle Sam on your back. America is faced with her worst domestic crisis since the Civil War or since the Revolutionary War. For America now faces a race war. A race war is worse than a revolutionary war. A race war is worse than a civil war. A race war is a war in which no holds are barred. A race war is a war in which children are destroyed, in which children are mutilated, in which children face the same destructive wrath that grown-ups face. A race war is the worst war that you can conceive. And this war, race war, that is coming upon the head of the white man is something that he is bringing down upon himself. The entire country is on the verge of erupting into racial violence and bloodshed. Simply because 20 million ex-slaves are demanding freedom, justice, and equality here in America from their former slave master. 20 million so-called Negroes, second-class citizens, seeking human dignity, seeking human rights, seeking the right to live in dignity as a human being. And rather than give genuine respect and recognition to your cry for human rights, the American white man answers your nonviolence with violence. He answers your prayers and your freedom songs with false promises, deceitful maneuvers, and outright bloodshed. According to what we are taught from the white man's textbooks and his school, the Revolutionary War and the Civil War were two wars fought on American soil, supposedly for freedom and democracy. But if these two wars were really for the freedom and human dignity of all men, why are 20 million of our people still confined here in America and enslaved by second-class citizenship? Something is wrong. The truth is that the Revolutionary War was fought on American soil to free the American white man from the English white man. The Revolutionary War was never fought to provide freedom and democracy in this white country for the black man. Our people remained slaves here in America even after the Declaration of Independence was signed. In fact, most of the white founding fathers who signed the Declaration of Independence were nothing but slave owners themselves. It is sheer hypocrisy, sheer ignorance, sheer insanity for our people here in America to celebrate the 4th of July as Independence Day, while white America still denies us first-class citizenship that goes with an independent people. And it is nothing but hypocrisy for the American white man to pretend that the Revolutionary War was truly a war of independence as long as 20 million black people here in America are denied the privileges of an independent people. Don't let the white man fool you. Don't let the white man smile at you and lull you to sleep. Behind that smile is a vicious heart. Behind those teeth is an animal-like beast who doesn't have it within him to want for you what he wants for himself and his own kind. Don't let that man fool you. When you look at that man, you're supposed to see him for exactly what he is. And if you want to know what he is, examine his deeds. Forget his words. He got a whole lot of pretty sounding words. Watch his deeds. His deeds are like the deeds of a snake, the deeds of a serpent, the deeds of a dragon, the deeds of a reptile, the deeds of a beast. Why, nothing but a race of beasts would take dogs and stick them on little black babies. Nothing but a race of beasts will stick dogs on black children and black women. Nothing but a race of beasts. And it is these deeds today that's causing the wrath of God to come down upon the head of the white man. And when you see him as he is and see how much hell he's catching, you're out of his mind to want to be with him. You're out of your mind to want to integrate with him. And you're really out of your mind if you take time to forgive him and ask God to have mercy on him. No, ask God to judge him. Ask God to do unto him as he has done unto you. He has caused your babies to suffer. Ask God to heap suffering upon his babies. He has caused your women to suffer. Ask God to heap suffering on his women. He has caused all of our people to suffer. You can't deny that. You may not like my saying it, but you can't deny it. Why, you got scars and knots on your head from the top of your head to the bottom of your feet. And every one of those scars is evidence against the American white man and his inhumanity to man. The Civil War was also fought on this continent, not to free the black slaves, as is commonly taught in the white man's schools, but the Civil War was actually fought to preserve the Union, preserve this country, keep it intact for white people. It wasn't fought to set you free. It wasn't fought to give you some kind of emancipation. It wasn't fought to make you a citizen. It wasn't fought to give you civil rights. It wasn't fought because they respected you and loved you as a human being. It was fought out of greed. It was fought out of selfishness. It was fought to keep this country intact for their own white selves. In essence, this only means that the American white man fought the Revolutionary War to get this country for himself.
And he then fought the have gained their independence faster than you and I here in America have. They've also gained recognition and respect as human beings much faster than you and I. Just 10 years ago on the African continent, our people were colonized. They were suffering all forms of colonization, oppression, exploitation, degradation, humiliation, discrimination, and every other kind of nation. And in a short time, they have gained more independence, more recognition, more respect as human beings than you and I have. And you and I live in a country which is supposed to be the citadel of education, freedom, justice, democracy, and all of those other pretty sounding words. We want freedom by any means necessary. We want justice by any means necessary. We want equality by any means necessary. We don't feel that in 1964, living in a country that is supposedly based upon freedom and supposedly the leader of the free world, we don't think that we should have to sit around and wait for some segregationist congressmen and senators and a president from Texas in Washington, D.C. to make up their mind that our people are due now some degree of civil rights. No, we want it now or we don't think anybody
can. Negroes today with no badge or no white skin or no white sheet or no white anything else. The police the same way. They put their club upside your head and then turn around and accuse you of attacking them. Every case of police brutality against a Negro follows the same pattern. They attack you, bust you all upside your mouth, and then take you to court and charge you with assault. What kind of democracy is that? What kind of freedom is that? What kind of social or political system is it when a black man has no voice in court, has no nothing on his side other than what the white man chooses to give him? My brothers and sisters, we have to put a stop to this. And it will never be stopped until we stop it ourselves. They attack the victim. And then the criminal who attacked the victim accuses the victim of attacking him.
Yes, sir.
This is American justice.
Yes, sir. That's right.
This is American democracy.
Yes, sir.
And those of you who are familiar with it,
yes,
know that in America, democracy is hypocrisy.
Right.
Now, if I'm wrong, put me in jail.
Right.
But if you can't prove that a democracy is not hypocrisy, then
he
don't
said,
put
praise
your
the Lord,
hands
but pass
on
the ammunition.
But when someone attacks you, when someone comes at you with a club, when someone comes at you with a rope, when someone comes at you with a gun, despite the fact that you've done nothing, he tells you, suffer peacefully. Pray for those who use you despitefully. Be long-suffering. And how long can you suffer after suffering for 400 years? So I just want to clear up that little point right there, because he says that we play on your emotions. And when you turn on your television tonight, or your radio, or read the newspaper, they're going to tell you in that paper that I was playing on your emotions. Imagine you, a second-class citizen. That's not getting emotional, it's getting intelligent. And as far as your mayor is concerned, I see you should say their mayor, a man named Yorty, who has been slandering the Muslims, a professional liar. Who has mastered the art of using half-truths. Put it in the paper that they broke into our religious place of worship and got records that they can use to prove that most of us have criminal records. You can't be a Negro in America and not have a criminal record. Martin Luther King has been to jail. Please. James Farmer has been to jail. Why, you can't name a black man in this country who is sick and tired of the hell that he's catching who hasn't been to jail. Charged him with being seditious. They put Moses in jail. They put Daniel in jail. Why, you haven't got a man of God in the Bible that wasn't put to jail when they started speaking out against exploitation and oppression. They charged Jesus with sedition. Didn't they do that? They said he was against Caesar. They said he was discriminating
Because he told his disciples, go not the way of the Gentiles, but rather go to the lost sheep. He discriminated. Don't go near the Gentiles. Go to the lost sheep. Go to the oppressed. Go to the downtrodden. Go to the exploited. Go to the people who don't know who they are, who are lost from the knowledge of themselves, and who are strangers in a land that is not theirs. Go to those people. Go to the slaves. Go to the second-class citizens. Go to the ones who are suffering the brunt of Caesar's brutality. And if Jesus were here in America today, he wouldn't be going to the white man. The white man is the oppressor. He would be going to the oppressed. He would be going to the humble. He would be going to the lowly. He would be going to the rejected and the despised. He would be going to the so-called American Negro. To have once been a criminal is no disgrace. To remain a criminal is the disgrace. I formerly was a criminal. I formerly was in prison. I'm not ashamed of that. You never can use that over my head. And that he's using the wrong stick. I don't feel that stick. I went to prison because I believed in men like Sam Yorty. I went to prison because I trusted men like Sam Yorty. I went to prison following the philosophy of men like Sam Yorty. But since I've been following the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, I have been reformed, and that's more, please. That's more than Sam Yorty and Chief Parker and all these other white politicians have been able to do with the inmates in the prisons of this state. They should give Mr. Muhammad credit. They should give Mr. Muhammad credit for reforming and rehabilitating men whom they have failed to reform and rehabilitate.
Mayor Yorty
referred to some press report that Mr. Muhammad had once been found guilty of contributing to the delinquency of a minor. He failed to explain purposely that in 1934, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad refused to send his children to the white schools in Detroit, Michigan that were teaching you about little black Sambo. That's the minor that he contributed to the delinquency of. You see, this vicious, fork-tongued white man has been able to take lives and make you turn against those who want to help you and make others turn against you. This is the contributing to the delinquency of a minor that this mayor, or a man who calls himself mayor, is talking about. In the same article, he said that the Muslims are the same people who rioted in the United Nations. Someone should pull his coat and let him know that at the present moment, there are $6 million worth of suits leveled against two of New York's leading newspapers for making the mistake of charging the Muslims as being involved in those United Nations riots. We were not involved. And if this fork-tongued man who calls himself your mayor had taken the time to find that out, he wouldn't be walking into the trap that he's letting his ignorance lead him into. And if he would take the time to read the Washington Post that came out the Sunday after that incident took place, the Washington Post pointed out on the front page that the Muslims had nothing to do with the UN riots. And they quoted, in saying so, the person who was at that time the commissioner of police in New York City. See, it's lies that the white man has spread about the Muslims to try and make you afraid of the Muslims, or to try and make you think that the Muslims were a criminal element, an uncouth element, and things that you would not like to be associated with. Also, they say that, I'm just clearing these things up, and then we're going to get into what happened. They also say that the Honorable Elijah Muhammad was a draft dodger. No, he wasn't. He just refused to go to the army because he was a man of peace. He was a minister of a religion of peace. He was teaching peace. So he outright refused to go to the army. That's not draft dodging. That's intelligence. Appear before the grand jury. Because the coroner's jury is stacked against Negroes. The grand jury is stacked against Negroes. The press, the radio, the television, and the newspapers are stacked against Negroes. But please, the Los Angeles Police Department is stacked against Negroes. He is stacked against all Negroes, all except those whom he has appointed to high positions. The controlled press, the white press, inflames the white public against Negroes. The police are able to use it to paint the Negro community as a criminal element. The police are able to use the press to make the white public think that 90% or 99% of the Negroes in the Negro community are criminals. And once the white public is convinced that most of the Negro community is a criminal element, then this automatically paves the way for the police to move into the Negro community, exercising Gestapo tactics, stopping any black man who is in the, on the sidewalk, whether he is guilty or whether he is innocent, whether he is well-dressed or whether
and
he is poorly dressed.
During the few moments that we have left, we want to have just an off-the-cuff chat between you and me, us. We want to talk right down to earth in a language that everybody here can easily understand. We all agree tonight, all of the speakers have agreed, that America has a very serious problem. Not only does America have a very serious problem, but our people have a very serious problem. America's problem is us. We're her problem. The only reason she has a problem is she doesn't want us here. And every time you look at yourself, be you black, brown, red, or yellow, a so-called Negro, you represent a person who poses such a serious problem for America because you're not wanted. Once you face this as a fact, then you can start plotting a course that will make you appear intelligent instead of unintelligent. What you and I need to do is learn to forget our differences. When we come together, we don't come together as Baptists or Methodists. You don't catch hell because you're a Baptist. And you don't catch hell because you're a Methodist. You don't catch hell because you're a Methodist or a Baptist. You don't catch hell because you're a Democrat or a Republican. You don't catch hell because you're a Mason or an Elf. And you sure don't catch hell because you're an American, because if you was an American, you wouldn't catch no hell. You catch hell because you're a black man. You catch hell, all of us catch hell for the same reason. So we are all black people, so-called Negroes, second-class citizens, ex-slaves. You are nothing but an ex-slave. You don't like to be told that. But what else are you? You are ex-slave. You didn't come here on the Mayflower. You came here in a slave ship, in chains, like a horse or a cow or a chicken. And you were brought here by the people who came here on the Mayflower. You were brought here by the so-called pilgrims or founding fathers. They were the ones who brought you here. We have a common enemy. We have this in common. We have a common oppressor, a common exploiter, and a common discriminator. So once we all realize that we have this common enemy, then we unite on the basis of what we have in common. And what we have foremost in common is that enemy, the white man. He's an enemy to all of us. I know some of you all think that some of them aren't enemies. Time will tell. In Bandung, back in, I think, 1954,
was the first unity meeting in centuries of black people. And once you study what happened at the Bandung Conference and the results of the Bandung Conference, it actually serves as a model for the same procedure you and I can use to get our problems solved. At Bandung, all the nations came together. They were dark nations from Africa and Asia. Some of them were Buddhists. Some of them were Muslim. Some of them were Christian. Some of them were Confucianists. Some were atheists. Despite their religious differences, they came together. Some were communists. Some were socialists. Some were capitalists. Despite their economic and political differences, they came together. All of them were black, brown, red, or yellow. The number one thing that was not allowed to attend the Bandung Conference was the white man. He couldn't come. Once they excluded the white man, they found that they could get together. Once they kept him out, everybody else fell right in and fell in line. This is the thing that you and I have to understand. And these people who came together didn't have nuclear weapons. They didn't have jet planes. They didn't have all of the heavy armaments that the white man has. But they had unity. They were able to submerge their little petty differences and agree on one thing, that though one African came from Kenya and was being colonized by the Englishmen, and another African came from the Congo and was being colonized by the Belgian, and another African came from Guinea and was being colonized by the French, and another came from Angola and was being colonized by the Portuguese. When they came to the Bandung Conference, they looked at the Portuguese and at the Frenchmen and at the Englishmen and at the other Dutchmen and learn or realize that the one thing that all of them had in common, they were all from Europe. They were all Europeans, blonde, blue-eyed, and white-skinned. They began to recognize who their enemy was. The same man that was colonizing our people in Kenya was colonizing our people in the Congo. The same one in the Congo was colonizing our people in South Africa and in southern Rhodesia and in Burma and in India and in Afghanistan and in Pakistan. They realized all over the world, where a dark man was being oppressed, he was being oppressed by the white man. Where the dark man was being exploited, he was being exploited by the white man. So they got together under this basis, that they had a common enemy. And when you and I here in Detroit and in Michigan and in America, who have been awakened today, look around us, we too realize here in America, we all have a common enemy. Whether he's in Georgia or Michigan, whether he's in California or New York, he's the same man. Blue eyes and blonde hair and pale skin. Same man. So what we have to do is what they did. They agreed to stop quarreling among themselves. Any little spat that they had, they'd settle it among themselves. Go into a huddle. Don't let the enemy know that you got a disagreement. Instead of us airing our differences in public, we have to realize we're all the same family. And when you have a family squabble, you don't get out on the sidewalk. If you do, everybody calls you uncouth, unrefined, uncivilized, savage. If you don't make it at home, you settle it at home. You get in the closet, argue it out behind closed doors. And then when you come out on the street, you pose a common front, a united front. And this is what we need to do in the community and in the city and in the state. We need to stop airing our differences in front of the white man. Put the white man out of our meeting, number one, and then sit down and talk shop with each other. That's all you gotta do. I would like to make a few comments concerning the difference between the black revolution and the Negro revolution. Yes. There's a difference. Are they both the same? And if they're not, what is the difference? What is the difference between a black revolution and a Negro revolution? First, what is a revolution? Sometimes I'm inclined to believe that many of our people are using this word revolution loosely, without taking careful consideration what this word actually means and what its historic characteristics are. When you study the historic nature of revolutions, the motive of a revolution, the objective of a revolution, and the result of a revolution, and the methods used in a revolution, you may change words. You may devise another program. You may change your goal and you may change your mind. Look at the American Revolution in 1776. That revolution was for what? For land. How was it? Why did they want land? Independence. How was it carried out? Bloodshed. Number one, it was based on land, the basis of independence. And the only way they could get it was bloodshed. The French Revolution, what was it based on? The landless against the landlord. What was it for? Land. How did they get it? Bloodshed. Was no love lost. Was no compromise. Was no negotiation. I'm telling you, you don't know what a revolution is. Because when you find out what it is, you'll get back in the alley. You'll get out of the way. Come on, man. The Russian Revolution. What was it based on? Land. The landless against the landlord. How did they bring it about? Bloodshed. You haven't got a revolution that doesn't involve bloodshed. And you're afraid to bleed. I said you're afraid to bleed. Long as the white man sent you to Korea, you bled. He sent you to Germany, you bled. He sent you to the South Pacific to fight the Japanese, you bled. You bleed for white people, but when it comes time to seeing your own churches being bombed and little black girls murdered, you haven't got no blood. You bleed when the white man says bleed. You bite when the white man says bite. And you bark when the white man says bark. I hate to say this about us, but it's true. How are you going to be nonviolent in Mississippi as violent as you were in Korea? How can you justify being nonviolent in Mississippi and Alabama when your churches are being bombed and your little girls are being murdered, and at the same time you're going to get violent with Hitler and Tojo and somebody else that you don't even know? If violence is wrong in America, violence is wrong abroad. If it's wrong to be violent, defending black women and black children and black babies and black men, then it's wrong for America to draft us and make us violent abroad in defense of her. The Chinese Revolution. They wanted land. They threw the British out, along with the Uncle Tom Chinese. Yeah, they did. They set a good example. When I was in prison, I read an article, and don't be shocked when I say I was in prison. You're still in prison.
That's what America means, prison. When I was in prison, I read an article in Life magazine showing a little Chinese girl, 9 years old. Her father was on his hands and knees, and she was pulling the trigger because he was an Uncle Tom Chinaman. When they had the revolution over there, they took a whole generation of Uncle Toms, just wiped them out. And within 10 years, that little girl became a full-grown woman. No more Toms in China. And today is one of the toughest, roughest, most feared countries on this earth by the white man, because there are no Uncle Toms over there. Of all our studies, history is best qualified to reward all research. And when you see that you got problems, all you have to do is examine the historic method used all over the world by others who had problems similar to yours. And once you see how they got theirs straight, then you know how you can get yours straight. Please. There's been a revolution, a black revolution, going on in Africa. In Kenya, the Mau Mau were revolutionaries. They were the ones who made the word Uhuru. They were the ones who brought it to the fore. The Mau Mau, they were revolutionaries. They believed in scorched earth. They knocked everything aside that got in their path. And their revolution also was based on land, a desire for land. In Algeria, the northern part of Africa, a revolution took place. The Algerians were revolutionists. They wanted land. France offered to let them be integrated into France. They told France, to hell with France. They wanted some land, not some France. And they engaged in a bloody battle. So I cite these various revolutions, brothers and sisters, to show you, you don't have a peaceful revolution. You don't have a turn-the-other-cheek revolution. There's no such thing as a nonviolent revolution. Only kind of revolution that's nonviolent is the Negro Revolution. The only revolution based on loving your enemy is the Negro Revolution. The only revolution in which the goal is a desegregated lunch counter, a desegregated theater, a desegregated park, and a desegregated public toilet. You can sit down next to white folks on the toilet. That's no revolution. Revolution is based on land. Land is the basis of all independence. Land is the basis of freedom, justice, and equality. The white man knows what a revolution is. He knows that the black revolution is worldwide in scope and in nature. The black revolution is sweeping Asia, sweeping Africa. It's rearing its head in Latin America. The Cuban Revolution, that's a revolution. They overturned the system. Revolution is in Asia. Revolution is in Africa. And the white man is screaming because he sees revolution in Latin America. How do you think he'll react to you when you learn what a real revolution is? You don't know what a revolution is. If you did, you wouldn't use that word. A revolution is bloody. Revolution is hostile. Revolution knows no compromise. Revolution overturns and destroys everything that gets in its way.
and you sitting around here like a knot on these folks, no matter how much they hate me. No, you need a revolution. Who ever heard of a revolution where they lock arms, as Reverend Klieg was pointing out beautifully, singing, "We Shall Overcome"? Just tell me you don't do that in a revolution. You don't do any singing. You're too busy swinging. It's based on land. A revolutionary wants land so he can set up his own nation.
That's right.
An independent nation.
That's right.
These Negroes aren't asking for no nation. They're trying to crawl back on the plantation. When you want a nation, that's called nationalism. When the white man became involved in a revolution in this country against England, what was it for? He wanted this land so he could set up another white nation. That's white nationalism. The American Revolution was white nationalism. The French Revolution was white nationalism. The Russian Revolution, too, yes, it was white nationalism. You don't think so? Why you think Khrushchev and Mao can't get their heads together? White nationalism. All the revolutions that's going on in Asia, in Africa today, are based on what? Black nationalism. A revolutionary is a black nationalist. He wants a nation. I was reading some beautiful words by Reverend Klieg pointing out why he couldn't get together with someone else here in the city. Because all of them were afraid of being identified with black nationalism. If you're afraid of black nationalism, you're afraid of revolution. And if you love revolution, you love black nationalism.
Anybody come in and control the economy of your community. Control the housing, control the education, control the jobs, control the businesses under the pretext that you want to integrate. No, you're out of your mind. The political, the economic philosophy of black nationalism only means that we have to become involved in a program of re-education to educate our people into the importance of knowing that when you spend your dollar out of the community in which you live, the community in which you spend your money becomes richer and richer. The community out of which you take your money becomes poorer and poorer. And because these Negroes who have been misled and misguided are breaking their necks to take their money and spend it with the man is becoming richer and richer, and you're becoming poorer and poorer. And then what happens? The community in which you live becomes a slum. It becomes a ghetto. The conditions become run down. And then you have the audacity to complain about poor housing in a run-down community. Why, you run it down.
Black power, black power, black power, black nation. You live here with New Black Panther Party. New Black Panther Party Radio, the New Black Panther Party for Self-Defense under our national chairwoman, Sister Krista Muhammad, here on day 441 as we continue to honor our great ancestors, Malik El-Haj Shabazz, Malcolm X. And these 3 days have been so informational and so powerful leading up to tomorrow, the born day of our great ancestor. Of course, we'll have a powerful broadcast tomorrow. Tune in. Call in right now, 718-664-6398. Press the number 1 to go live on tonight's broadcast. This is the people's broadcast, and we want to hear from the people what We have demonstrated what was being clarified by our great ancestors. It is also powerful, and we are privileged to be able to have such great ancestors. My God, all of the wisdom, all of the knowledge, all of the resource points that we've got, all of the marching orders, these demands have not been met. We are not free. It's time to get on the front line. Everybody got a job to do. You want to be free, we're going to have to fight. So now is the time to get on the front line. So much is going on in the Black nation. Why don't we fight to get free? Join the new Black Panther Party for self-defense. What are we waiting on? Get on the front line. It's time for what is being presented to us by our great ancestors. It's time for Black nationalism. It's been that time. It's time for the do it ourselves. Do it right now. It's been that time. You cannot say enough about the legacy of Malcolm X. Cannot say enough about our admiration for the great work that still must be done. And lest we not forget, we would be remiss for the great knowledge of the most honorable Elijah Muhammad, raising so many great Black revolutionary minds, so much that we have on our side when it comes to hell everything, but especially our historical presence, our role in this, in the world civilization, and all of that means nothing, family, if we don't fight to preserve it today. It's self-preservation, it's self-determination. Get on the front line, join the new Black Panther Party for self-defense, www.mvpp.org, the great, the honorable Malcolm X. And all of us have been privileged to be able to even be in a day where we have the technology to hear for which we were not there for. I mean, all of us, hell, I know, I can see who's on the line. He wasn't there when Malcolm was there. But for that power and for that energy to continue to be demonstrated by great revolutionaries today, great African genius today, we talk about Black nationalism and self-defense and self-determination. These are all keys and elements to our victory. We must be serious and face straight facts. What have you learned from the great legacy of Malcolm X? We say that everybody should have a community celebration slash political education slash beginning of your community do-it-yourself project, of your community, of you taking your community pulse. Tomorrow is a powerful day to do that, any day, right? Now, one thing that we do continue, we have to continue to nail into the minds of our people. While we're on the topic of self-determination, we're moving into the time of the year. We see these disastrous storms come all through the South and all over the country, really. But the same areas and same cities and same Black people in these cities and towns are being affected by these disasters. And we've also done the research, found out, and we know for fact that these so-called charity communities and so-called, we talked about how the cracker will do some kind of aid, some kind of fake, false puppet aid, right? But what we found out is when the new Black Panther Party, Black Cause, our humanitarian arm is on the ground, we find these organizations like the Red Cross and all these different organizations. They don't do anything for the people. And these people are giving millions of dollars of donations a year funding from the United States government. And these people do not help Black people during our times of distress, during these disasters. It's Black people that help Black people. Truth be told, it's Black people that struggled and fought their way out and lost everything that they had in Katrina and Harvey and all of the storms that have hit this region and that all over this country. We're on our own. We're on our own. That is why we have the new Black Panther Party, Black Cross. And we say to everybody that is listening on the line, we're going to have to do for self. We should be preparing for violent storms as it always presents itself around this time of year. So let's keep that in mind as well. We want to hear from the people. We want to hear from the people on the great works and wisdom of Malcolm. We heard this, you know, time and time again. But God damn it, we know that you have learned something within these last 3 days. Let's hear it for our national chairwoman, Sister Krista Muhammad. Can you hear me, comrade?
Black Power, Brother Cassidy, loud and clear, loud and clear. Yo, I was sitting here doing the math, and I was thinking about the new Black Panther Party radio broadcast after the COVID-19 pandemic. It was planned by these demons. This pandemic, we started doing our broadcast every night. Prior to that, our first broadcast took place the weekend after I became elected as national chair, which would have been the first weekend in December of 2013. And when we first started doing these broadcasts, we were doing the broadcast every Monday night. Our first host was our national minister of information, chairman out of Miami, Brother Fahim Ali. Brother Fahim Ali was murdered in 2014, in May of 2014, only after 6 months of hosting our Monday night broadcast. Brother Fahim was murdered not by the crackers, but by a black devil. We continued our Monday night broadcast. We had a few different hosts, but it wasn't until you came in 2016, Brother Captain Sadiq, as our youth minister initially, and then National Chief of Staff, you helped to facilitate, you started helping to facilitate the Monday night calls. And then we were struck by natural disasters, Hurricane Harvey, and we activated the Black Cross, and during those time periods, we had nightly broadcasts when the disaster hit. How long did those Hurricane Harvey calls last?
The Hurricane Harvey broadcast went 45 days.
45 days, all right. And then we went back to our regular Monday night broadcast as people started to settle down and all the information that we could disseminate in regards to that disaster was addressed. There was another disaster that hit, another flood. After that, I believe it was the Baton Rouge. We activated the Black Cross again. Then there was another natural disaster hit with Lake Charles. We reactivated the Black Cross again. But when the pandemic hit, we activated the radio show every night. So I was doing the math to see how many broadcasts we've actually done. So if you take 2014 until... when did Hurricane Harvey hit? In 2019, 2018, anyway, 2018, shit, I believe Hurricane Harvey hit in 2018. Anyway, we were doing up until the pandemic hit. So from 2014 until 2020, we did our broadcast every Monday night. So that would be, is for 1 year, that's 52 weeks. So 52 times 6 is how much? And then you take the time when we did a 45-day broadcast for the Hurricane Harvey, and then another 45. I believe it was 30 days for the next disaster when Lake Charles hit. Am I correct? And then in 2020, we started the nightly broadcast. I was trying to do the math, but I believe when we do the math, we're close to 800 shows, 800 live broadcasts, 800 information-packed political education, dissemination of Black Nation news, great speakers. We've had Brother Ray Winbush, one of the profound organizers and authors in regards to reparations. We've had Brother James Smalls. We've had Baba Mutulu. We've had Kaba. We've had Jay Morrison. We've had Fred Hampton. We've had so many great speakers to come onto our broadcast. We've had some of the greatest revolutionaries in the New Black Panther Party to come onto our broadcast. We've had families of police assassinations, families of lynchings. We've had and continue to have Brother Eugene that comes on to give us our report on Africa. We've had the brothers with in Cobra to come on and build on reparations constantly. Brother Jamoke, Brother Okali, Brother Sintawa. We've had original Panthers to come on to the broadcast. General Rico, Baba Malik, Baruti. We have had many of the greats in the New Black Panther Party campaigns we've launched. This broadcast has been available for the last year and a half every night from 7 p.m. Central to 9 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. Central, 8 p.m. to 10 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. to 7 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. Mountain Time. Every night, this broadcast goes across the globe. We have people listening in Africa, South America, Europe, every corner of this planet. And we bought nothing but the real. We've had our broadcast attempt to be sabotaged and booby-trapped by the people we actually pay to broadcast it through. Blog Talk Radio. Through alleged interferences from NSA and technical difficulties and, you know, NSA, CIA, FBI, all the little bitch-ass Sesame Street-ass alphabets of the cracker to try to disrupt this broadcast, yet we prevail. This radio show is not free. It costs us every month to broadcast. The website is not free. The websites for the New Black Panther Party or the Black Cross are not free. It costs us every month. These maneuvers we do across the country, we don't get funded by the cracker. It comes out of the pockets of the freedom fighters of the New Black Panther Party. And it's not everybody. It's those dedicated to you. Imagine if everybody in the New Black Panther Party contributed. We could get so much more work done. Imagine if everybody in the New Black Panther Party participated. We could get so much more work done. But you want to sit around and listen to a motherfucking speech. Y'all want to wait till you come into your cities. I like the spirit of some of these cities where they say we got our cities on lock. We're getting our regions on lock. Black motherfucking power. We went into cities and regions, and they tried to scurry to get a squad together because they wasn't doing shit till we got there. When I'm saying we, the vanguards, what they call us, the pull-up. That's a region. Pull-up squad, vanguard squad, the riders, the sentinels.
Squad up.
The watch men and women squad up. Many titles. But we are the New Black Panther Party for self-defense. Vanguard. Too many. There are thousands of atrocities happening to our people. And we've only been able to get to the tens of them. Because there's too few of us doing all of the work. Too few of us putting in on this. So many join under emotional pretenses. You got mad, you saw a black man murdered. You got mad, you saw a black child murdered. You got mad, you saw a black woman murdered. A black girl murdered by the pigs. Or black on black. But let's deal with this black on black. For years, and we will continue to get on the cracker's ass. But what about the coconuts, the black crackers? Like the young brothers and sisters that murdered Sanaa. What is wrong with our children? What is wrong with our children is what is wrong with us. We have too much division, too much hate. too many people trying to be the overseer on the plantation. On a plantation, a plantation nation. We are still being ruled by the people that enslaved our ancestors. And you are so foolish enough to motivate your people to go out and pick who the overseer is going to be, as opposed to a revolutionary stance of saying, you know what, everything that you have, America, KKK, you have off the blood and sweat of our ancestors. We have never been recompensated. We have been under constant attack, constant Holocaust, a constant purge. People talking about, you think the purge gonna start? Are you out of your mind? The purge been going on. But how few of us will stand up? How few of us got the heart, the mind, and the spirit to resist these wicked people, this wicked nation, this wicked government, these wicked policies, these wicked pigs, these wicked black devils working for the crackers or with the mind state of black hate? How many of you persevere when the going is tough? Or are you fair weather soldiers and bail when the shit get thick? Tonight, on the eve of Malcolm X's El Hajj Malik Shabazz birthday, as I do every night, but I want to make a specific call for folks to join the new Black Panther Party who have the spirit, mind, mentality of Malcolm X. The guts, the hearts, the balls, and the tits of the brothers and sisters, the mind state in the new Black Panther Party for self-defense. Sure, if you want to get involved politically, get involved politically where you're taking over your city, where you're taking key positions, where you are reallocating the budgets to get the resources directly to the hearts and the hands and the resources for the people. For long, too fucking long, we got black gatekeepers that sit in office and line their fucking pockets, and the people suffer. You run up and tell the people to vote for you to get you a goddamn job. But what have you done for your goddamn community? What have you done for your God-blessed community? What have you done? What money have you brought back to the table? What millions of dollars have you reallocated? How has the money been spent? Is there still homelessness in your city? Homelessness can be eradicated in every city with a line item for the city budget. You take 10% of the city budget for the pigs allocated towards homelessness. Homelessness will be over overnight. You take another 10% of the budget that you got for the pig and create community programs in your cities for the children and for the adults to combat poverty, and you will alleviate crime. You take another 10% of your city budget and you allocate it towards the mental health, the stress, the illnesses that plague our communities. And you do the same thing statewide until you got 100% of the money where you've allocated the people, where your money is going to, they take from you before you fucking see it. Because when you go pick cotton on the plantation that you've chosen to go to as a voluntary servant for compensation, before you even see your paycheck, your paycheck has been jacked 30%. Did you say where that money goes? Did you tell the government to go and take that money and go kill non-whites across the globe? Did you tell the government to take that money and fund their police to shoot you and your children in the head? No. You got some black niggas in suits sitting in office, buck dancing, bending over, sucking dick, licking cat, doing all kinds of debauchery activities instead of coming together and getting the resources and the people in place, the proper programming and funding in place to make shit happen. Because you know how we know? Because with no budget, the new Black Panther Party does all kind of shit to disrupt the government, to hold them accountable. And they lose their fucking minds at the mere thought that they're being challenged. The mere thought that we got our guns like they got their guns. The mere thought that we don't believe in their fucking crooked-ass establishment. And when you go and kiss ass and try to assimilate, you're not being respected. Nobody respects a traitor. No one likes a coward. Not even a dog or a motherfucking cat. Nothing on the planet likes a coward. Nothing. No one, no being. The people who listen to this broadcast are not the ones that specifically we're talking about, except for the haters that's spying. The majority of the people that have the consciousness, the forethought to even listen to this broadcast are on the same frequency. And so to those of you who are on the same frequency, you need to turn up. You need to turn up. I know this for a fact. It's thousands of people that listen to this show. Thousands. Consistently. How many of you have given one dime? Are you scared that you're going to be seen as contributing to freedom fighters? But you give old Pastor Hamhout, who sent you to pie in the sky when you die, who in the back in the pulpit punking your little boys, you'll give him the money, your 10%, thinking you're going to buy yourself a little walk on the golden roads and go see white Jesus. You got it out of your mind. It is on our watch right now. You can talk about the 60s, 70s, 80s, 90s, even 2000. As it speak, we're in 2021. 2000 is old news. What are you doing now? Don't talk about what your granny and grandma them did. They fucked up. Let's keep it 100. They wanted to be with the cracker. They wanted to integrate. They ignored the freedom fighters in the past who said separate. And look at you now. You integrated. We got rid of our schools, our black hospitals, our black businesses. They ran highways through most of our black business districts. Tulsa wasn't the only one got bombed. Tulsa got bombed. The rest of you had highways ran through you, other cities, through the black business districts. Like in New Orleans and Houston, the same story went on. And look at them now. They're gentrifying your neighborhood. Now all of a sudden, whitey, nasty ass walking through with a dog. All of a sudden, your boys are switching. Why are your boys switching? Because some grown person can suck their dingling into your little boy's behind. Why are your girls acting like men? Because some sick nigga molested these children. We have a sickness going on in our community. Molestation. Then they also have chemical hormone that are being pumped into the food. Do you know that they pump fluoride into your toothpaste? Your fluoride makes you docile. Fluoride doesn't stop anything from happening to your teeth. Fluoride makes you docile. All kind of medical apartheid is going on. They tell you, oh, your blood pressure's high. They give you some medicine and make you limp. You don't produce. Look at how many hysterectomies they're doing on young black women, trying to stop us from producing. The eugenics program is real. Look up Margaret Sanger and Planned Parenthood. Margaret Sanger. Read Carter G. Woodson's The Miseducation of a Negro. G.M. Jane's Stolen Legacy. Barashangas, African people and European holidays of mental genocide. See how you've been exploited in every which angle, from the so-called educational system to the political process and spiritual system. And with all that being said, the solution is right here with the new Black Panther Party. We can realign your mind in 90 days. If your heart is ready. If your heart ain't ready, you're wasting our time. Who needs a fucking smart-ass coward around them anyway? And who needs a corrupt-ass buff nigga that's dumb as fucking shady? You must be mentally, spiritually, and physically correct to rock with us. If you don't possess those characteristics, there's plenty of other places to go. But we only want those brothers and sisters who are of the understanding that you are king or queen, and who have the mentality and the hustle and the heart of a warrior, that can not only feel what Malcolm is saying, but live and exude what Malcolm is teaching us. And it's taught us, Malcolm, Huey, Mega, Marcus, Ida, Harriet, Sojourner, George, Jonathan, the many who came before us, who paid the ultimate price. What about the political prisoners that are locked up right now in the Black Nation? Mamir Abu-Jamal, Imam Jamil Amin. As we are getting ready to deal with Tulsa, the same thing happened in Philadelphia with the move in May. May Day. They bombed. Was it? They bombed Hawaii? Or was it Tokyo? May Day. They bombed. Yeah, it was Hiroshima. They bombed Hiroshima in May. They bombed Tulsa in May. They bombed MOVE in Philadelphia in May. Black organization, Black people. Hell, them bitches bombed Michael Xavier in June and July in Dallas, the so-called Dallas shooter. What gave them the right to drop a drone on that young man? What gave them a right to drop a bomb on Christopher Donner? A drone. Have you seen them dropping bombs on Europeans? Dylan Roof went into the church in South Carolina and killed up the whole church. They took him to Burger King. Took him to Burger King. They took this fucking Dylan Roof to Burger King after he went into a church and shot up and murdered people in Denmark Vesey's church, of all churches. Don't play politics. Don't play tough with us. Keep it 100. Tell no lies and claim no easy victories. Stand firm, stand solid, and we already win it. That's the whole key. And yeah, we want our damn reparations. I said damn. All you holy rollers, you so good, you ain't got no earthly good. You turning your nose up. You trying to judge. You know what I'm saying? All these battle bruises we got. I'm battling with the pigs across America. Conrad's murder. They dropped the drone on Brother DK in Dallas. Our comrade. Fahim was shot down at his house. Brother Sharif's daughter was murdered. Shot 11 times. Buried in a hollow grave. It seems to me that these are acts of war. Tomorrow, We will have a very special presentation in honor of Malcolm X. We would like to hear from you. What you got to say? Oh, snap, 15 minutes. But the captain, we got any callers in the queue? 14 minutes.
All right, we got Brother Laramie calling out of Baton Rouge. Black Power, brother, can you hear us?
Come on, Laramie, what's going on in
Black
Baton Rouge?
Bobby,
what's going on?
Black Power, sister, what's going on? Black Power, brother, Cassie.
Then we got to bring the Black Cross
always
down there, brother.
I'm not 100% sure yet. Well, I'm not sure if that's so necessary, but we have... It's spotty. It's not just one side like it was in 2016. It's not just North Baton Rouge and whatnot, but it's on the east side of Baton Rouge, on the other side, and it's in different little areas. They got one apartment complex that's been flooded out. I believe it's mostly just the bottom floor, and there's other little housing areas, you know what I'm saying, around the way. But a lot of roadways got flooded in Baton Rouge and around the areas from last night. So it's not as, you know, big as people really think, but a lot of roads, a lot of cars did flood here in Baton Rouge. Sister Amina was trying to get on the call. Now, they did have one death here in Baton Rouge. There's an underpass by the Mall of Louisiana, and this guy, he tried to drive through last night, considering when the water is stable and not moving, it's hard to see and notice if it's actual road, wet road, or how deep it is. And there's a lot of little dips. And this little dip goes down, you know, so many feet by the mall. And I guess he tried to drive through. This guy tried to drive through, and I guess his car locked up. And Sister Amina posted about it. And when she went and found out the details, when she rolled by, come to find out it was, you know, one of Sister Amina's friends, somebody that she knew personally. So, you know, she kind of, you know, had a heartfelt moment for that. You know, somebody that she actually knew died from drowning, you know, in their car. That's from last night. And as you know, nightly rains are the most dangerous because when the moon comes out, it puts a gravitational pull on the earth, which makes the waters rise and whatnot. So that's the most dangerous time for it to rain. So you definitely got to be watchful at night. Other than that, like I said, it's just, and I'm going to say this real quick. I don't really have much time. All the money in Louisiana, and also like Texas also, we have over 250 industrial plants. We got casinos on every turn and every exit. You understand? We got movies that get filmed here monthly. Any movie that you watch, you'll see a little bit of New Orleans or a little bit of, you know, Louisiana here and there. Where is that money going? You have $270 million that got sent to Exxon for tax-free money to help them out of their situation. And that's been done 17 times in the last, like, maybe 6 or 7 years. Why hasn't that money gone back to the people, going back to the infrastructure? You understand? We shouldn't have 3 or 4 inches of rain and lights getting shut off, people's cars flooding, and so on and so forth. There's been so many cars that have been flooded in Baton Rouge these past couple of days. It's been ridiculous. Then luckily there's only been one fatality and not multiple. They've had over 250 people that needed to be rescued last night from boats. So that's a good amount of people. It's just ridiculous. They're not putting the money where it's supposed to be. Like Sister Crystal said, they can literally solve homelessness overnight. I know they can. The money is there. They don't want to spend the money. They don't care about your black skin. They don't care about your blackness. They don't care about your human condition. And to get into the let's get into the legislative part. Let's go there, because I've been paying attention to that very deeply. And I gave a testimony last week, May 11th, to the Civil Law and Procedures Committee on removing the slavery exception clause in Louisiana State Constitution, Article 3, Section 1, which says slavery is illegal except it's been for a crime, just like it says, you know, for the federal government. And I've never seen, now, it's not anything new, but to see them do it to your face to tell you that this is the most dangerous piece of legislation that's ever came across them. No, the most dangerous piece was locking our people up after the Emancipation Proclamation and making them slaves again. The most dangerous piece is y'all coming over to our country and taking us, taking everything that we had, our architects, our philanthropists, you know what I'm saying, our gardeners, our kings and our queens. That's the most dangerous thing that's ever been done. All this is on record. And I'm going to send the link to you, Sister Chris and Brother Captain. You can watch it and see what these crackers are saying. Now, the guy that's running this organization, the Carceral in Louisiana, he was locked up for 25 years. He created this organization so he can help the people on the inside, our brothers and sisters behind the enemy lines. And they actually have one that's still currently locked up here in Louisiana. But they shot that bill down, HB 196, if you want to go look it up yourself. They shot that down in Louisiana. They shot down the same piece of legislation in Texas a couple of days later from not even going to the committee to remove the exception clause so they won't use us as slaves while we're in prison. That's the reason why they want to lock us up to use our free labor. And they make money in the hundreds of millions of dollars by doing that. Every year, hundreds of millions of dollars. Like, I'm not talking about no little, a couple hundred dollars and stuff like that. So, I mean, and then, you know,
across the country,
that's
billions,
billions of
dollars a year on free labor across the nation.
Right. And
billions of dollars a year.
Yeah, but it's billions.
It's been going
billions.
On since 1865. That's
yes,
what
ma'am,
the that's what the 13th Amendment. Break that
right.
down. Just to slow down, Brother Laramie, and
yes,
explain
ma'am.
That a little bit more in detail. And
okay,
this is
the
why they. The, go ahead.
Okay, so the 13th Amendment exception clause was put in 1865. The Emancipation Proclamation was put in 1863, which freed the slaves. So they decided to say, how are we all going to capitalize and lock these and get these folks back under our thumb? They said that this is what it says. Slavery or involuntary servitude is illegal except for punishment for a crime or duly convicted in the United States and this area. Except for punishment for a crime. So that's when the Jim Crow laws came in, convict leasing. The black codes, it would literally pass by you. Who are you? What is your ID? Where do you live? Do you have a job? You're going back to jail. Some of them never even left the plantation. Most of them never even left the plantation, didn't even know they were free. They are using our free labor to capitalize and make them billions of dollars every year. There's over 4,000 companies in America that capitalize off our free labor. Companies that you pass by every day. They got brothers and sisters up in there working for free. Now, if I had a company and you had a company and I had 10 employees and you had 10, if I wasn't paying my employees any money and you were, how much more money would I make? A whole lot more. So that means I would have more capital than you. I can go and buy another business and buy another business, invest in here while it takes you 10 years to get two different businesses, I done had 10 in 2 years. You know what I'm saying? So that's what they do. They are locking us up to capitalize off our free labor. But today, they call it a work release program. These brothers and sisters literally, and they call it where you want to go outside and get some fresh air and stuff like that. They literally take them to their houses, the wardens, the guards, to clean up their yards, to wash their cars, to clean up the highways. You know what I'm saying? These companies have them pick their food. The prisons literally have them pick vegetables and can them, and they sell them in these stores. They literally, so they are ultimately capitalize off of everything that we do. That's why we got to free our people. And also, one more thing that didn't pass. Non-unanimous jury here in Louisiana means that you can only get convicted for a felony if you have 12 jurors, you know, find that you're guilty. But a lot of them have been convicted for 10-2 verdict, which means 10 guilty, 2 not guilty, but they'll still lock them up for that felony or that crime. So they passed that 3 years ago in Louisiana, that wasn't going to be in effect anymore. But just yesterday, they just tried to retroact this into law to where the brothers who had this happen to them before would be free. If you had a 10-2 verdict felony on you, you would be free. And guess what? They shot that down too. That would have affected 1,556 people here in Louisiana that had a 10-2 verdict on top of them. And they are showing you at every level. They even shot down occupational women's health here in Louisiana to keep them from studying health of women here in Louisiana, which is mostly black women who deal with heart disease mostly and things like cancer and so on and so forth, because it's killing us more than anybody. They're showing us that they don't care for us. And what are we going to do about it? And also, with what happened to the brother, with that happened to the brother here that drowned by the mall during that flood last night, you know, that we got to care for our people and check on our people. Let me let you know about Hunt's prison right here in St. Gabriel, right outside of Baton Rouge. They are telling them if they don't go and cook in the kitchen, they literally, right here in Hunt's prison, the same prison where these brothers heard that the non-unanimous jury didn't pass, and all these brothers were hoping this would pass so it would set them free because they know they've been messed over by the system. If they don't go and cook in these kitchens, they literally will put them on lockdown, which is putting them in solitary confinement, and literally will not give them their medication. You understand? That's slavery. All this has to do with slavery. They want us to stay enslaved. But we got people that are educated around here that's going to try to help. But what are we going to do? We got people doing that work. What are we going to do about the muscle? You understand what I'm saying? But I don't want to get into that because the talk is almost over. But we have coalition plans to go and do small caravans and whatnot monthly at Hunt to let them brothers and sisters know that on lockdown that we love them. We care for them. We working hard out here for y'all. You understand what I'm saying? We stay in contact with these brothers. Lift them up. You know what I'm saying? Lift them up in prayer. We're going to get you out of there, man. We're doing everything that we can. You understand what I'm saying? Our brothers on lockdown ain't lost. Those are our brothers. That could have been any one of us. That could have been me. That could be your brother, your sister dealing with that bullshit in there. That's slavery. So speak out and help your people on behind enemy lines, the homeless. That's who we are. New Black Panther Party, Black Power.
Power, Brother Laramie. Black power. Everything that you said, brother, was right on. And everything that you said, everything that our national chairwoman said, is all in the way of the legacy of our great ancestor, Malcolm X.
Well,
man,
see it, Brother Laramie.
Was it ever? And your work, brother, that you're doing, and the Baton Rouge chapter in general, we give you a Black Power salute, brother. Black Power.
Black Power.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Well, family, you know, as we, you know, moving with the closing of this broadcast, you know, these last 3 days, not only have we been able to, you know, edify and been able to lift up the great work and wisdom of Malcolm X, but at the same time, we are continuing, as our national chairwoman said, 800 shows, continue with this broadcast. So, you know, let everybody know that the new Black Panther Party is on every night, 718-664-6398. Call in. Thank you to all our callers that called in tonight. Everybody listening on the line. You know what I'm saying? We're gonna drop that Malcolm before we get that snip.
Tune in tomorrow for our special Malcolm X broadcast. Tomorrow's Malcolm X Day. Tune in.
But we want to welcome you to our rally, our unity rally, for a united black front, to unite all factions of our people, to unite every one of the 20 million so-called Negroes into one group. And you'll notice, whenever the white man thinks that we're going to call a rally to knock our own kind, you see him jammed out here. He wants to hear us say something against King or against Bunch or against Farmer, against someone of our own kind. He damns out here. But when you call a rally for black people to unite, let's get together, you don't see too many white folks then. They don't like black people to get together in unity and harmony. As long as you and I are going to attack each other or talk about each other or heap scorn and ridicule upon each other, the white man gets his kick. But when he knows that we're going to come together in unity and harmony, he won't get his kick. He will get kicked.